Does that take some trust? Yes, it does. But when you get there, I will make of you a great nation. How are you going to do that, God? Because I don't have any kids and I'm too old to have kids and my wife's way too old to have kids. I don't know what you're doing here. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Oh, blessings are good, right? I will make your name great. Oh, and you will be a blessing. When's the last time we heard all this blessing language? At the beginning, the creation. God's been trying to get us back to this blessing place since the beginning. He only meant good for us from the start. I will bless those who bless you. And the one, that one out there, that high-tech barbarian that you're going to meet along the way, not as many as I want. I want to bless everybody, but I know there's going to be that person and maybe a few more. The one that curses you, I will curse. I'm looking out for you. And so in you, all the families, remember the creation, the man, the woman, I made a family out of them, and that's the basic building block of humanity. All the families on the earth, on Haaretz, are going to be blessed because of you. That's pretty big, don't you think? And so there's this dividing line when humanity, those who will bless this man and receive his blessing and bless him back, and those who don't. And so it says, verse 4, Abraham went. He went forth. It's the same word as the go word. He did, just as the Lord had spoken to him. And it gives you all the details. He was 75, took his wife, smart thing to do, took his nephew, everything they had accumulated. He apparently was a good businessman. He had a lot of money and a lot of people that were he hired and lived with them. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they came to the land of Canaan. It goes very quickly, just one sentence, but it's hundreds of miles of this stuff. Walking and walking with all your sheep and your goats. And it says in verse 6 that Abraham passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. And then verse 7, it says, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, the Lord appeared. So before he made the journey, God just spoke. I just got the audio. Now he gets full color vision and hearing. You see, he acted in faith, he obeyed, and God expanded the revelation. He does that. When you trust him, when you obey him, he begins to give you the bigger picture. And so he said to Abram, to your descendants, I will give this land. There's no strings attached. It's a unilateral, that is one direction, covenant. It's just a fact now. You guys, this place belongs to you. And so he built an altar. I mean, in a sense, really, that's the process by which we become saved. I mean, the day you get saved is a wonderful, amazing day. It's a history-changing day, but it's also just the first day of the rest of eternity, right? It's the first day of the journey, and the journey goes on. And so that's what happened with Abram. He believed, and he came to this place, and the Lord appeared to him and spoke to him again. This is yours. And so Abram goes to these places. He went to Shechem. Then he went down and camped between Bethel and Ai. And then he went south to the Negev. Now this is an interesting pattern, because this is the pattern which everybody in the future who comes back into this land follows. So when his grandson Jacob has to run for his life because he stole the inheritance from his brother Esau, didn't have to do that, I think, but he had to run for his life, He went back to where Abraham came from, got a wife and two wives, and came back with his 12 kids. And he came back into the land. He went to these exact same places. And then after Jacob and all of his family went down into Egypt because it was a famine, and God grew them into a great nation in 400 some years, they came back out, and Joshua led them back into the land, and he led them to these exact same places, you see. So this is the pattern of his people coming into this place. Well, pretty great 9 verses in here, I would say. Let's talk about what this means. First of all, let me just say that I think this is so marvelous that God is able to take one person who believes him and is willing to obey him, and he changes the world with that person. He can do that. He is doing that in you and in me. That's what he wants to do. One person who will trust him, God wants to bless. That's what he did from the very beginning. It was never his intention to curse, like he cursed the ground because of our sin. But he wants us to bless. He still wants to bless. And he has blessed. He has blessed us through Abraham. We're going to talk about the promise he made. We're going to talk about the land he gave and what that means even to this day in the weeks ahead. But let's just think for a second about human history as we know it. All the good things that have come out of human history, and how many of those things have come from the children of Abraham. How much has come to us? How many good things have come over the centuries in the area of medicine, education, economy, technology? There have always been high-tech barbarians, but there have been people of God who created new things for the sake of other humans. And how many of Abraham's children have been involved in the great things of human culture? The Jewish people comprise 0.02% of the human population of the planet. So in other words, in order for them to be 1% of all humanity, they'd have to be 50 times bigger. It's a pretty small group of people. And yet, for some reason, they managed to have gotten 22% of all the Nobel Prizes ever given. They've been blessing the world. God's been blessing through them. He talks about the seed as part of the blessing. Your descendants. It's still, I'm sure Abraham's thinking to himself, my descendants, right. And who would that be exactly, since I don't have any kids? And I'm too old to do that stuff anymore. Well, the passage we read in Galatians says that those who believe God, who trust in him, let me go back there again. Understand then that those who believe, that is, in Jesus the Messiah, are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. He's not saying anything about anybody replacing anybody. He's not talking about I renege on my original promises. He's saying I'm adding more people into this promise. And we're going to talk about that more later. But of the people who would call themselves followers of Jesus or Christians, that's about 32% of the world's population. That's a third. That's very big. Those people have been blessed by Abraham. That's how far the blessing has spread. It has spread everywhere else as well. But the New Testament's very clear that the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, Jesus, he was the ultimate blessing of Abraham. That's where this project was going. And so for those who are in Jesus, he gives the very Holy Spirit, the presence of God himself, indwelling in our life. He gives us his word, his revelation, so that we can know him. So if you've had any contact, and you have today, by the way, because you've heard this word read today, have you not? So you have received even today a blessing from Abraham. And it just is everywhere, all over the place. So God has just been pushing wave after wave of blessing onto humanity. And we're such whiners, we never think about that. Well, I wish I had this or I had that. And God says, I've been dumping stuff into your lap, blessings all the time, your whole life. And they mostly all came through this guy, Avram. He starts with one person who believes. So God wants to bless. He has blessed, and he will continue to bless. And the way he's going to continue to bless is through you and through me. That's why we try to get this as clear in our mind as we can. That's why we talk about worshiping. Our lives are acts of worship as we go out into the world. We bring it together. We come here and we worship together. We sit next to one another. We talk to one another. We touch one another. Because some of you are having a great week and some of you are having not so great week. And God is in all of our lives who are in Christ. And we need to be together. We need to talk to one another. Some of us just need to have someone put an arm around us and say, I care about you. God is with you. God is with me. Some of us need an arm around us, like we talked about last week, an arm around us and a finger in the ribs. Hey, let's get on this thing. Let's do it. Let's get on with what God has called. Let's go. Lech lecha. Let's do it. So we worship, we connect, we meet together in small groups. We do all kinds of things together because we need one another. And this is all part of that blessing process. He needs blessers. He needs people who are ready to go out into the world, who have that kind of confidence that they know the living God, that they can go out from the safe place. And finally, we serve. We pray for the people that God has put right into our lives. And if we added up all those networks for everybody sitting here today, that's many, 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 many people. It's hundreds of people. And so God is blessing those people through us. Well, there's a fellow named Peter Cha. He teaches at Trinity, where I went to school in Chicago. And he talks about this passage, and he describes what he calls creative dislocation. And creative dislocation describes that place in life when we are no longer feeling at home. We're dislocated. When we are out in dangerous space. And he says that's the place that God is really able to be creative with us. He's able to do new things with us because that's the time that we're actually listening to him. And so he creates something new in us. He transforms us. Think about Joseph, a teenager sold into slavery in Egypt, becoming the prince of Egypt, changing that world and making a way for his own people there. Think about Moses, who was put in his own little ark in the River Nile, left to die virtually, and who was a foreigner but grew up in Pharaoh's courts and then had to run for his life into the desert of Sinai, lived there the rest of his life except for the bit of time he came back to Egypt to bring his people out, and he was a wanderer, bringing them. He's writing this story for us. He's telling us all this stuff. He's telling that generation who weren't even born when they came out of Egypt, he's telling them who they are and why it is they're going to go into this new place that Abraham went to, that Jacob was, and that he's never going to see. Moses tells us about Abraham, and they barely crossed paths. They were hundreds of years apart. And yet, they lived their life dislocated, But they trusted God. Daniel went to Babylon as a teenager, lived out the rest of his days there, changed the world through his writing. Esther, who lived her life in Persia, dislocated from what was safe. And so this dislocation, this getting away from what is safe and what is comfortable, causes us to lean deeply, Professor Cha says, lean deeply into the posture of depending on God. So when we worship, when we go out into the world and the world says, oh, that person believes, that person trusts in the Lord, that person isn't just a local person who's got everything going for them, has given me some story. Nope, they believe that stuff. Another way this is described by Professor Cha talks about a guy who teaches down here at Yale, Miroslav Volf, and he describes this story this way. He says, as God commanded Abraham to leave his country, his people, his father's house, God calls us to do the same thing. And he calls that critical distance. And that is what God is calling us to. He's calling us to put critical distance between us and our ethnicity, between us and our culture, between us and our nationality. Whatever gives us a sense of pride and comfort and safety that's not God, he's calling us to pull back away from it. He's not saying to call it bad or evil. He's just saying, don't make that the center of your being. So whatever it is that you are really happy about, whether it's being an American, whether it's being from Connecticut or being from Woodstock or whatever it is, God's calling you to go from that place and go to the place where he can bless you and make you a blessing. And that place is in Christ. That's what it is. And so critical distance. Now, it's long been in our culture, and it's just now becoming apparent the last couple of generations. It used to be that being an American and being a Christian were the same thing in most of our minds. Not so anymore. We might have to choose at some point. Or there are things that I like about America, I love about America. I'm vested in this country. I spent a decade of my life in the military. I lost my father in one of our wars. I'm vested. But my life is centered around Christ. That's all. That's the only really safe place I can be. No longer blindly loyal to culture and ethnicity, but rather loyal to Christ. No longer under the power of my culture, objectively seeing what is good in the culture and what is bad, enjoying the good but not excusing the bad. And in doing that, my relationship with other people becomes this. I recognize other people that are foreigners because I myself am a foreigner. You are a foreigner in this world if you are in Christ. You have citizenship elsewhere, says the scripture. And so we're able to embrace others in a new way. We become transformed as kingdom people. Our vertical relationship with God becomes transformed as well. We become more like him. We'll become now kingdom persons. And that is the call of Abraham, and it is still the call for every one of us to this day. If you are in Christ, you have been blessed by Abraham. You are, as Paul describes, he says, we're like an olive tree. Israel was like an olive tree, and now some of us have been, those in Christ have been grafted in to that olive tree, and we drink in that rich sap of the blessing and promise of Abraham. We are sharers in it, and we have been blessed. And so in Christ, you've been blessed, and it's time for us to bless others. So we'll be talking about how we do that as we go on in the weeks ahead. But let's close our time now with a prayer. Let's look to the Lord. Father in heaven, It is so good to have been blessed. In our life, you have poured out so many blessings. Whatever has happened to us, we have been blessed. Help us to recognize that, to see that every day, and to see that we should and ought to be a blessing to others around us, especially those of us in Christ, sharing that blessing with others, changing the world. This is the flood of your blessing. This is the waters of Eden going out to water the whole earth. This blessing that you put through your people. So bless us as we do that and as we understand it. We ask it for Jesus' sake today. Amen.